In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. One of the greatest blessings God has given to each one of us is the body. What a wonder it is. With our five amazing senses, we connect with the astonishing world around us. We see the blue sky and the green hills in full color. We hear the sounds of birds singing, streams flowing, and music playing. We smell the aroma of the delicious pie baking in the oven, and then we taste its delightful flavor. Our sense of touch brings great delight as we stroke the soft fur of a puppy. Yes, thank God for the gift of your body. But, as with all blessings from God, there can be trouble. We human beings, sinful as we are prone to misuse God's gifts. We take them for granted. We think that we are the owner and we can do with them as we please. God's word calls us back to the truth that our bodies really belong to Him and that this is a great blessing indeed. God's word calls us back to the truth that our bodies really belong to Him and that this is a great blessing indeed. The words of our epistle reading today from 1 Corinthians chapter 6 are pretty direct about some sensitive matters, to the point that one evening a father spoke them to his 16-year-old son. The young man's bedroom was located in the basement of their house, and he heard his father come home about 9:30. And the father called to his son from the top of the stairs, "Hey son, come here." "What is it, Dad?" he answered, standing at the bottom of the stairs. And then the father gave him the message of 1 Corinthians 6 in essence. "Did you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? God Himself dwells in you, and He wants you to remain pure in body. So wait for marriage." The son was too astounded to respond with anything more than a simple, "Okay." But then he thought, Dad must have been at a church meeting tonight. Nevertheless, those were just the words that the young man needed to hear that night at that age. And as a grown man, that son was thankful for his dad's voice of truth all those years. We all need a voice of truth in this world because we have been hearing a lot of lies. It's my body, and I will do what I want with it. If it feels good, do it. I am the captain of my ship, my body, and the master of my fate. We all have heard, these slogans, these declarations of human independence and freedom. No one has the right to tell me what I can or cannot with my body, says the woman who decides to deal with an unplanned inconvenience by planning an abortion. And so it goes on and on. The voices of this world tells us that it is our body, and we have the power to use it any way we want. But these voices have lied to us. Today in God's Word, we hear a different voice. It's not simply the voice of Paul, but the voice of God the Holy Spirit, who inspired the apostle to write these words of truth before us. This word of truth was originally given to the Christians of the church in Corinth because they had been told lies by the world around them. Essentially, they were being told that the body is not that important and they could do whatever they want with it. After all, the world around them said that the body is only a shell for the soul or spirit. Soon the body would be unnecessary. When death would come, the body would be gone, and the soul would live on in heaven. They heard that the real person is found in the soul or spirit and not the body, and so it didn't matter what you did with your body. Then, while you have your body in this life, it's yours, and you can do what you want with it. The Corinthians were told the lie that it was okay to indulge their bodies with the sensual pleasure of their choice. Gluttony, drunkenness, sexual immorality, whatever pleasure they wanted. They believed the lie that while a body was satisfying its desires, its soul was untouched and could still be in acceptable fellowship with the Lord. The Corinthians had their slogans too. In verse 12, Paul quotes one of these slogans: "All things are lawful for me." The Corinthians misunderstood the freedom they had as Christians. Yes, they were free from the burden of the law to save themselves. Jesus had saved them. But they took their freedom too far. Paul had two responses to their slogan: "All things are lawful, but not all things are helpful." And "I will not be enslaved or dominated by anything." Paul quotes another of their slogans in verse 13 that illustrated their desire for a certain kind of indulgence. "Food is meant for the stomach, and the stomach for food." But Paul calls them to sober thinking by responding, "And God will destroy both one and the other." But the most serious indulgence that Paul was addressing in this reading was sexual immorality. He wanted the Corinthians to understand that the body did matter, and that these kinds of sins had a serious harmful effect on their bodies, on marriage, and on their relationship with others and with the Lord. Paul had his work cut out for him because these Christians were living in a society that had legalized prostitution and considered it an acceptable practice. It's not much different today, is it? The lies are still here. People believe they own their bodies and are free to use them as they please. The sacred God-given bonds of marriage are cheapened in a culture that believes it's okay as long as between two consenting adults. And it's not healthy for you to deny your natural appetite. A few days from now is the 48th anniversary of the Supreme Court's decision that legalized abortion. This decision has had a devastating impact on millions and millions of tiny, helpless bodies. Ever since that decision, we have been hearing voices argue, abortion is legal in our country, so people are free to use it. While this is sadly true, we pray that God would help us hold His gift of the body and all bodies as precious and of infinite worth. Paul redirects the conversation by putting a spin on one of the Corinthians' slogans. He says in verse 13, the body is for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. He directs us to the right use of the body, not for sinful indulgence, but for the Lord. He raises the value of the body by declaring the Lord is for the body. Indeed, Jesus had a body, conceived and born of Mary. He offered His body for us that we might have new life. He let His body be nailed to the cross to pay for our sins. His body was given into death for our salvation. Paul declares the truth that as God raised Jesus' body from the dead, He will raise our bodies as well. How precious are our bodies in God's sight? They certainly are not discarded after death. Paul also teaches the truth that our bodies are members of Christ. Later in chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, Paul speaks at length about our being the body of Christ. Since our bodies are members of Christ, our Lord refuses to accept a foreign body into that sacred union with Him or with the marital partner. Paul warns the Corinthians to flee the temptation to sexual immorality. And this warning in God's word is also given in the sixth commandment. You shall not commit adultery. In one Sunday school class, after talking about this, the sixth commandment, a little girl came to the teacher and told her that the boy in the class was breaking the sixth commandment. Completely startled, the teacher asked, "What do you mean?" And the girl responded, "He is committing adultery. He is trying to act like an adult." Often we think adultery only happens when a married person is unfaithful to his or her spouse. But there is a bigger picture. So let me demonstrate what adultery is. There is nothing like a nice cool glass of pure water. How refreshing is, especially for a preacher that may be speaking a bit too long today. It is a gift of God to us to keep our bodies healthy and fit. But what happens when I drop some dirt into this water? I spoil it. What did I do? I added something that didn't belong. I adulterated the water. Did you see? Adultery is adding anything or anyone that doesn't belong in the holy relationship between husband and wife or between the Christian and the Lord. We remember Joseph's example when he resisted the temptation of Potiphar's wife, he told her in Genesis 39, "How then can I do this great weakness and sin against God?" But her temptations persisted, and Joseph finally had to flee. Paul warns us in 1 Corinthians that these sins against the body do great harm. We know the danger of disease and the challenges for children without married parents, of broken homes and broken hearts. Our Lord does not want the great gift of our bodies to lead to sad results such as this. In the last verses of our reading, Paul tells us the amazing truth that our bodies are actually temples of the Holy Spirit. God Himself dwells within us. So do we own our bodies? He contradicts this lie that so many still believe today, saying, "You are not your own, for you were bought with a price." Like everything in life, including our bodies, we are not the owners. God is. Our bodies were bought at a price. They were purchased for eternal life. They were delivered from death to life to serve for the purpose of that life. As Luther taught, Christ purchased us and won us not with gold and silver, but with His holy, precious blood, and with His innocent suffering and death, that I may be His own and live under Him in His kingdom and serve Him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessings. To God be all the glory. Amen.